Good, praise God. Open your Bibles with me this morning to Isaiah chapter 10. You know, it's kind of interesting. I think God is so cool. How many think God's cool? You know, tonight, this morning, I'm speaking about a remnant. A remnant is a minority of people that remain faithful. A minority. And it's kind of interesting. Today is Healing Sunday. And we're not overcrowded today, so some people that have fear of getting up in front of people can get prayed for today because there isn't a whole lot of people. Amen? Because, you know, God, that spirit of fear is relieved, okay? So we can just have a good time today, right? Amen? So everybody just loosen up. Get ready to receive what God has for you today. Amen? You know, God always has a remnant. This is speaking Bible. Hallelujah. He always has a remnant, all right? He always has someone. You know, I'm reminded of Elijah when he went up to the Mount of God, and he said, I. And the Lord said, no, I got 7,000 that haven't bowed their knee to bow, you know? And what I want you to understand is the pros far outweigh the cons for children of God. Amen? And God gives us in His Word the power to defeat all of the works of the adversary. Amen? So as we go forth today, look with me in Isaiah chapter 10, beginning to read in verse number 20. It says, and it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as are escaped of the house of Jacob shall no more again stay upon him that smote them, but shall stay upon the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Jacob, unto the mighty God. For though thy people Israel be as the sand of the sea, yet a remnant of them shall return. The consumption decreed shall overflow with righteousness. For the Lord God of hosts shall make a consumption, even determined, and the midst of all the land. Therefore thus saith the Lord God of hosts, O my people that dwellest in Zion, be not afraid of the Assyrians, or the world, or sin, that he shall smite thee with a rod, and shall lift up his staff against thee, after the manner of Egypt. For yet a little while, and the indignation, got tongue-tied, shall cease in my anger and their destruction. And the Lord of hosts shall stir up a scourge for him according to the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb. And as his rod was upon the sea, so shall he lift it up after the manner of Egypt. And this is where I want to focus your attention this morning. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. I want you to understand that as the prophetic word goes forth, it's traveling through time, and it wants to work in this house today. You know, we know that it's going to be totally fulfilled when he brings the remnant out of the tribulation. And he's going to bring a remnant in. That's when it's completely fulfilled. But it's being fulfilled in our midst right now in this house today. Amen. The title of this morning's message is Profess and Proclaim. Profess and Proclaim. And we're going to look at three things. We're going to look at the prophecy, the provision, and the promise. Are you with me? The prophecy, the provision, and the promise. Can we lift our word together and can we declare, make a declaration together in this house? Repeat after me, say, I believe. This is the written word of God. God wrote this word to me. I am what God says I am. I can have everything God says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word, and my life will be changed. It will never be the same. Lord, speak to me. I'm listening. My ears are open, and my heart is receptive. Thank you, Jesus, for choosing me. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we're so grateful for your word. And Lord, I'm grateful, Father God, that you're sending your word here to accomplish something in every heart of every life that's gathered in this room today. So, Father, I pray, Father God, that you speak through me. May the words that proceed out of my mouth come from you and not from me. May the words that come out of my mouth bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to every hearer in the room. Father, as your word goes forth, your word declares that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And as your word goes forth today, Father God, faith will increase in this atmosphere. And then you will accomplish everything that you said that you will do. So Lord, we just say, have your way in every heart and life, and we'll never cease to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So first off, we're going to look at the prophecy. So turn with me in your word to 2 Peter chapter 1. Say, Jesus, open my receptors. Let me hear your word. And may your word become what you sent it to do. See, the adversary always tries to distract. So in other words, sometimes we just have to get ourselves focused in so we can hear. Because God's going to do what he said he's going to do. And first, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 17, the word of God says, for he received from God the Father honor and glory, speaking of Jesus, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son, and whom I'm well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, that you listen, that you open up, that you're receptive to, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. In other words, something's going to become. In other words, as the word goes forth, something's going to become. In other words, we've got to let it generate inside of us. Jesus said that this is the word, the bread of life. This is the word of life. So as this word's going forth, this is so important that we just soak it in to our inner man so it can manifest on the outward. Amen? So we're getting positioned, right? So as this prophet said, he says, and it shall come to pass in that day. In other words, this is the day. This is the day. In other words, we're not waiting for anything any longer. When Jesus said on the cross of Calvary, it is finished. This is the day. We're already in the time. We're already in the season. This is the day of the Lord. Amen. Today. So we've got to get a mindset that God means this for today. Because if we have it and we read it as history, or if we read it as future, it never accomplishes anything in the here and now. God is the God of the here and now. God is the God of today. God wants to do something today. Amen. And every heart and every life. So turn with me in Hebrews chapter 3. So we get a little revelation. You know, he's speaking to the remnant. He's speaking to the remnant of the Jews. He says in verse number 7 of Hebrews 3, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice." Today. 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 "Harden not your hearts as in the day of provocation," or the temptation, "and the day of rejection," of the temptation in the wilderness, "when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest." He says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief." What does he call an evil unbelief? He calls it evil. He calls it evil. In other words, we either believe or we don't. "Evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end." You know, he that's begun a good work in you and I is faithful to see it through to completion. He is the author and he is the finisher of our faith. God never starts something he doesn't finish. Amen. I see and building. You know, you come in and you rough into this room and you hang the drywall and whatever. And it really never looks complete or finished until the finished woodwork is done. To the baseboards and the framing around the doors puts that finishing touch. In other words, God never stops or does not leave something unfinished. In other words, just because I didn't get my answer at that moment, that doesn't mean my answer isn't coming. Amen. In other words, we talked about this morning, the woman with the issue of blood 12 years. She had an issue of blood for 12 years, but she pressed in. She pressed in to the Father to touch his garment, and she was made whole. She didn't give up. She didn't give up. She didn't give up. She had that disease for 12 years, but she pressed in. God is saying today, it shall come to pass in that day. So I've got to get the mindset that this is the day and it's going to come to pass. And no, I got to get that in my heart and mind, because if I can't get it in my heart and mind, I ain't going to have faith to see it. Amen. Amen. Are you with me? So turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Hallelujah. I feel something jumping inside. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 1, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, "We then as workers together with him beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in the time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee," or kept thee. "Behold, now," now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. That word salvation comes from the Greek word soteria. And soteria means to rescue, to heal, to deliver, to save. Now is the accepted time. Today. It shall come to pass in that day that he said, I will lift the burden off of their shoulders. Does anybody feel weighed down with anything in the place? Come on, be honest. Amen. This is a place where we can just be real. We don't have to put on any mask. We don't have to fake it. We don't have to be phony. We can just be real, okay? Hey, if you're going through something, you're going through something. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you with me? Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 14. Assyria, which is Babylon, is holding Israel in bondage, and they're oppressing them. Okay? And the adversary, Assyria and Babylon, represents this world and represents the sin of this world that tries to oppress the believer. And verse number 24, the word of God says, "And the Lord of hosts have sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand, that I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon my mountains tread him underfoot. Then shall his yoke depart from off them, and the burden depart from off their shoulders. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all nations. For the Lord of hosts have purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back?" In other words, it speaks about the deliverance. Being delivered, being set free, coming out of bondage, amen? Coming out of the prison, coming out of the thing that's trying to hold you back, hallelujah, so you can be a free spirit in Christ. And I don't talk about being a free spirit in the world. I'm talking about being a free spirit in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let the Spirit of God flow. Amen. So as we're looking at that, turn with me in Isaiah chapter 42, just to establish that he's speaking forth to Israel, which includes you and I. So according to his word that we've been grafted in as the family of God, so this deliverance belongs to us. Amen. Verse number 5. He says, "Thus saith the Lord God, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spreadeth forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth breath unto the people upon it and the spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and I will hold thine hand, and I will keep thee, and I will give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles," a light of the Gentiles, "to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that are in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." Yeah. Amen. In other words, God is always getting us prepared for the things that are coming. Hallelujah. Amen. So he says to you and I in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Turn there for a moment. You know, when the Lord, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, you know, when the Lord was speaking to me about this, there's so many people, children of God, that read the Word of God the same as Israel reads it, with a veil over their eyes. This is God's Word speaking. Listen to what he says in and 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 12. "Seeing them that we have such great hope, we use great plainness of speech. And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end, that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. For until the day remained the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is to be done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. In other words, what the Lord was saying to me, he said to me in this provision, the provision, we have to have pro-vision. What do you mean, pro-vision? The Word of God says in Hebrews 11:1, faith, now faith, today faith, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if I cannot see it in the Spirit, I can never have faith for it to become. In other words, if I'm sick, I've got to see myself whole. If I'm limping, I got to see myself walking straight. If I'm blind, I got to see myself seeing. If I'm deaf, I got to hear myself. I got to see myself hearing. Amen. If I'm mute, I've got to see myself talking. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, the Bible says without vision, the people perish. In other words, if you can't see the answer that you're seeking God for, you'll never have faith to believe him for it. Hello? And that's what God is saying. That's why the adversary wants to crud up your mind. That's why he's always wanting to mess with your head. Because if he can mess with your head, he keeps you lying in the bed instead of getting up and getting ahead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He wants to hold you as a prisoner. He wants to hold you and keep you in bondage. But the Son of God has come to set you and I free. Amen. And all he is saying to you and I, let's not be Christians and children of God and not let the Spirit reveal things to us and walk around like the Jew and read the Bible like it's just a history book. Let me tell you something. If you truly get revelation and understanding that every name named in heaven and earth must bow to the name of Jesus and to the Word of God. Jesus said, man can't live by bread alone, but for every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And if we aren't speaking the word to the adversary, he's not even listening to us. Somebody says, well, we just go ahead and pray. Well, let me say this to you. If you ain't praying the word, it ain't accomplishing anything either. Hello? Hello? So rather you're praying, rather you're praising, rather you're speaking, we're praising the word. We're praying the word. We're speaking the word. Hallelujah. Because this is the only thing the devil bows to. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying? That's why the adversary wants to sow that seed of doubt in your head all of the time. And that's why God says, hey, catch a vision. Catch a vision. And you might have to write it down and make it plain so others can read it, but only others can read it, so you can read it and remind yourself what God said. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I don't know about you, but that's good preaching. Hallelujah. It's not for me. It's from the Holy Ghost. It's God speaking to you. God wants you to hear his voice today. He says, stop hardening your heart. Let the word soften your heart. Let it get to your mind. Let it be so you can become everything I called you to become. Hallelujah. Hey, amen. There's greatness in this room. Hallelujah. There's greatness in this room. Some of the ones that are called the greatness, the adversary is held down so long. But once you allow that chain of bondage to be broken, look out. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Amen. Come on. You got discouraged, but there's things that there's been many things that happened in your life that tore you down, that ripped you apart. But God said he'll restore, he'll renew, he'll make all things new. All things that pass away, behold, all things become new. Hallelujah. I'm glad I serve a God that gives us a do-over. I don't know about you, but I need a do-over every day. Hallelujah. I need to be renewed every day. His mercy and his grace needs to renew us, refresh us, restore us every day. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know what God's doing in the room? He's increasing some faith in the room so we can receive what God has for us. Hallelujah. He says not only it shall come to pass in that day, that prophetic word that today is the day, amen, that he was going to lift the burden, but he said he was going to take the yoke off of their neck. How many feel like they're being choked? Anybody? Hallelujah. What was that? Choked. Sometimes the adversary, the yoke is you put around the neck to keep the workhorse or whatever in order, right? And this yoke that's around the neck, sometimes the adversary gets a chokehold on you. Amen. He's got you in that grip. And has anybody ever watched WWF, the Worldwide Wrestling Federation? Amen. And they get you in that chokehold. And that's how the adversary comes sometimes. And he tries to choke you, choke the breath out of you, choke the life out of you. He's got that old yoke on you. But the Lord said this. He said, in that day, I'm not only going to lift the burdens, but I'm going to break that yoke. Amen. I'm going to loosen that yoke. And when you see that, I'm looking at the promises of God. He says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 20, he says, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. 2 Corinthians 1, 20, all of his promises are yes and amen. All right, yes and amen. He's talking about today. Amen. He's talking about today. He's talking about lifting the burdens today. Hallelujah. He's talking about breaking the yoke today. This is the day. So look with me in Job chapter 5. Job chapter 5. Verse number 19. The word of God says, he shall deliver thee in 6 troubles. Yea, in 7 there shall no evil touch thee. This speaks of past, present, and future. Hallelujah. In other words, he's going to deliver from the past, keep you in the present, and preserve you for the future. Hallelujah. I like it the way that the psalmist writes it in Psalms 91. Amen. Verse number 1. He says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. In other words, he's going to keep you. Amen. I'm holding on to the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ my King.
Okay. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God my Savior. I'm standing on the promises of God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Did somebody say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Amen. You know, I was looking at 2 Timothy chapter 4, and the Apostle Paul is encouraging his student Timothy. And he's sharing with him that God's his deliverer. Even when he seemed like he was alone and there didn't seem like to be anyone else near. He said in 2 Timothy 4:18, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. So what did we see in closing today? Hallelujah. Is everybody okay with closing, or can you say, Pastor, give me more?
Pastor, give me more.
All right. We see who's hungry and who's not. Hallelujah. But here's what he said. He says, not only was he going to break the yoke from off their neck, but the yoke was going to be destroyed because of the anointing.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. In other words, we're not just to, we're just not to bind and loose some things sometimes. Sometimes we need to destroy some things, take authority over some things, you know? It's kind of interesting because in the King James, the New King James Version, he says the anointing is the oil, the ointment. It's something that you use to manifest the presence of God. It's been untouched. It's pure. It's been dedicated. It's been set aside for His glory and His honor. That's why when we pray for people, that we anoint them with oil. The anointing, the oil to destroy the yoke. You see, we find today, hey, that we have the prophecy, and it shall come to pass in that day. The provision that He'll lift the burden off of your shoulders. The promise, and I'll break the yoke. And we have the power. And I'll destroy the yoke. Because of the anointing. He says, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. So look with me in Mark chapter 6. In Mark chapter 6, verse 13, the word of God says, and they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. Isn't that perfectly clear? It's perfectly clear. What God is saying to you and I in closing today, hey, we have the prophecy. It shall come to pass in this day. We have the provision, burdens will be lifted in the place. We have the promise, the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing. Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, we're so grateful for your word. And we're grateful that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it to this house to do. In the closing moments of this